You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, the leader of the official opposition was in Northwest BC this week. Pierre Poilievre was on what looks like the campaign trail already, visiting the federal riding of Skeena-Buckley Valley for the second time in 6 months. He made stops in Terrace and Prince Rupert to discuss the failing Liberal Party and how his Conservative Party, if they win government in the next federal election, which could happen anytime between now and 2025, would improve the situation for all Canadians and especially for those here in Skeena-Buckley Valley. He also announced that Ellis Ross, the current MLA in Skeena, will be running for the Conservative Party of Canada in the next election, looking to unseat current MP Taylor Bacharach and end more than 20 years of NDP rule in Northwest BC. My interview with Pierre Poilievre coming up next. Stay with us. Hello, Mr. Poilievre.
Yes, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Excellent. Tell me again, what is the catchment for your station?
It is a CICK News online, and if you're listening locally in Smithers, our call sign is 93.9 FM.
93.9, but it's just, but your listeners are principally in Smithers.
Terrestrially, yes, but we have an online presence and a podcast, so it goes out to the entire region, and we cover issues and stories from across the northwest of BC.
Okay. So you have an extraterrestrial audience.
Indeed. Yes. Growing, we hope.
Excellent. Good. I want the votes of everyone living on Mars.
Yes. Well, if Elon has something to say about it, that might be a reality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll give him a call and let him know. All right. Well, listen, I'm ready when you are, my friend.
Right on. Well, first, Mr. Poilievre, just want to say thanks for joining us on CICK News. Of course, it's always great to have leading politicians in our riding. Of course, we're so far away from Victoria and Ottawa, so we appreciate you coming to the riding and spending the time and talking to constituents because we know how important this business is. And so that's kind of where I wanted to start first. This is your second visits to the riding in a few months. How's it going? Why are you spending so much time in Northwest BC?
Shared common sense values with the Northern British Columbians who feel the NDP has betrayed them. NDP members have claimed they'd work for Skeena and Bulkley Valley. And instead, they sold out and signed a costly coalition deal with Justin Trudeau that is bringing in a 61-cent a liter carbon tax, banning hunting rifles, allowing repeat violent criminals on the street, blocking resource projects, and shutting down industries. That's not what people want. And so I'm here to share my message of common sense to axe the tax, fix the budget, build the homes, stop the crime.
I'm assuming, you know, you mentioned a few things there. It sounds like a lot of what we've been hearing from voters as well. Are these the conversations that you're having with folks on the ground here in Northwest BC? What are those conversations really focused on? You mentioned the carbon tax. Crime, of course, is up a little bit in a number of these communities. And resource projects, there are some going on, but a lot still on the books. So what are you hearing from people on the ground? What are their major concerns day to day?
One, their paychecks are too small, and two, that the costs are too high. After 8 years of Trudeau and the NDP, everything costs more. Work doesn't pay. Housing costs have doubled. Crime, chaos, drugs, and disorder are now common in our streets. But the good news is life was not like this before Trudeau and the NDP, and it won't be like this after they're gone. Common sense conservatives will bring home lower prices by axing the carbon tax and ending the inflationary deficits. We'll bring home powerful paychecks with lower income tax that reward hard work. and by green lighting, mining, forestry, and natural gas liquefaction projects. We'll bring homes people can afford by incentivizing local governments to speed up and lower the cost of building permits so we can build. These common sense policies will allow people in places like Smithers to pay less and bring home more.
I'm sure you're aware there are a number of resource projects on the go. This is a bit of a hub in the region for mining, especially. We're seeing a completion of LNG Canada's facility, billion-dollar facility in Kitimat. The pipeline is basically in the ground, finishing work there. There's two other LNG plants that are currently going through the motions and environmental assessments. I noticed something on your website. You want government to be a servant and not master to the people. Would this followed along the lines of some of these resource projects? You might recall the Northern Gateway pipeline, oil pipeline. Many years ago, there was a huge influx of people, citizens within all these communities in Northwest BC, especially in Kitimat, where the LNG plant is now, that stood up and said, no, oil pipeline is too risky. We're happy to take other risks around resource projects, but that was too risky. We saw a plebiscite even in Kitimat that was 60-40 in opposition to that oil pipeline. And I know this has been, you know, a big part of the conservative platform trying to get resources to overseas markets out of Canada and overseas markets. If government is a servant and not a master, would you go along with something like the North Coast tanker ban, something that people here really wanted to see to ensure that this beautiful coast is protected from things like oil spills?
So the reality is that the company, I thought, screwed up the consultation with the community, and they didn't do the right groundwork to win over the community. I think these companies need to do a better job of winning over local communities. And that's what we did when we approved the LNG Canada project. The Harper government backed that. It brought in $40 billion of investment. It's been amazing for Kitimat. The Hesla community has benefited, and they have another LNG proposal. The Nisga want to develop natural gas liquefaction, and other First Nations communities want the same. I'm going to work with them to quickly approve natural gas and LNG projects, forestry projects, and mining that will bring home powerful paychecks to this country in a way that protects the environment and honors First Nations.
I guess just a quick note there, you know, LNG Canada was approved by the Liberal government. And so clearly they, you know, see the value. Also,
it was approved before the Liberal government. The Trudeau, you can go back, the original approval was done under Christy Clark and Stephen Harper in 2014. Trudeau then did accept it and took credit for it. But it was originally approved by the Conservative government.
Fair enough. We saw the permits come through in 2016, in January 2016. But the communities here made a big difference between an oil pipeline and an LNG pipeline. And generally speaking, especially mm-hmm. Kitimat and Terrace, you know, they bought into LNG Canada. And we've seen, you know, kind of the influx of work there, especially. But now after construction is starting to wind down, you know, we're seeing work drying up, some questions of, you know, what are people going to do next? So a little bit of, you know, following along this boom and bust cycle, which Kitimat especially is very familiar with, but, you know, they definitely didn't want an oil pipeline. And although that the company, as you mentioned, could have done a better job, do you think it's just that, about doing a better job of consulting people, meeting them where they're at, putting more money into consultation like LNG Canada did? Or is it more of that, you know, this is a kind of a unique place environmentally? We have some of the biggest salmon runs on the continent. The Skeena is the second largest in the province here. Does it have more to do with folks are also focused on that and wanting to ensure and preserve some of that rather than just shipping out oil and gas?
LNG Canada will be good for the country. And we need more projects like that. The Canadians have an incredible advantage because we have cold weather, which reduces the cost of liquefying gas. We have clean hydroelectricity to power liquefaction, as opposed to more dirty forms of electrical generation in the United States. We have shorter shipping distances to Asia than does the U.S. Gulf Coast. So it's much more environmentally friendly to liquefy and ship gas from Canada than it is from the U.S. Yet they have built 7 liquefaction facilities in the time that we in Canada have failed to complete a single one. This despite the fact that Trudeau had 18 of these proposals on his desk when he took office, and he has got none of them done. The one that was originally approved by Harper is still winding down, but we could have had a dozen of these things. Meanwhile, Qatar has doubled its production, and Russia continues to fund its war by selling gas into Europe that we could be supplying peacefully and cleanly from Canada. So that's my common sense plan. We're going to repeal C-69, replace it with a law that consults First Nations, protects the environment, but gets decisions made so we can bring those paychecks home to Canada.
Yeah. Again, I got a couple other things here, and I don't want to belabor this, but of course, the Enbridge oil pipeline was a huge issue for many of the residents here.
Is that still proposed? Sorry, is that still proposed?
Well, it is not, but there is a lot of folks that believe if the opportunity arose, that another one could come down the line. We have this North Coast tanker ban that is up for review this coming year. And there's been a lot of chatter of whether that will be upheld if a conservative government is voted in.
I haven't heard any proposals for an oil pipeline since Northern Gateway. So I can't comment on proposals that don't exist, but we'll definitely keep an eye on it.
But you would support, if the people were in support of the North Coast tanker ban, you would support the people's position on that?
I support developing Canadian natural resources in a way that is safe and secure, allows Canadians to take back the market from dirty foreign dictators. That is our approach. I'm not going to comment on a theoretical project that does not exist. I will simply say we need to bring home production of energy to our clean and ethical resource sector rather than giving the jobs to dirty dictators in faraway countries.
There is another major issue that has come up in the last number of years here in Northwest, and that is of childcare. I'm curious to hear your perspective if you're hearing this from voters as well in the region. We've had this pronouncements of a $10 a day childcare from the Liberals and NDP. They tout it as a big success. But here in Northwest BC, in smaller rural communities, we're seeing very little of this. A lot of it has to do not with the cost, but of course the spaces, having ECEs, trained ECEs, coming in to start these daycares to offer some level of reliable childcare for many people and to keep it affordable as well. What are you hearing from folks on the ground in this respect, and what is your government prepared to do to ensure that there is available and affordable, reliable childcare that allows parents to get back to work and help drive the economy?
Yes, and this is, the Liberals have certainly talked, and the NDP have talked about how they were going to deliver this $10 daycare, but nobody can seem to find it. When I travel across the country, I run into countless parents who say, sounds nice, but I can't find it anywhere. And when the rare places it is found, there are lineups of dozens and dozens of families. And by the time you get to your turn in the line, your kid is old enough to go off to kindergarten. So the reality is the money is being gobbled up by bureaucracy rather than delivered to frontline care. And there's too many restrictions in the kind of care that is eligible to receive that money. So my common sense approach would be to allow more flexibility to the provinces for things like private care, family-based care, neighborhood-based daycares, not strictly government-owned and government-operated facilities. We need to include every type of child care option and give maximal choice to parents if we're going to help every family and every kid.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, you know, part of the problem is that, you know, obviously there are limited numbers in certain daycares. They have to meet all the requirements, especially if they're a not-for-profit. For-profit, you know, daycares, of course, they're trying to make run a business. But we are seeing some inconsistencies with private home daycares due to loosened or lighter regulations around that. I know of a number of individuals who've put down, you know, hundreds of dollars, $1,000 to hold the spot, only to be told that the spot doesn't exist and they're not going to get their money back. What is your government prepared to do to kind of deal with that situation and make sure that these home and private daycares are properly regulated so that people, you know, hardworking families don't, you know, lose their shirt type of thing, having to pay thousands of dollars for daycare every month?
Yeah, this is life after 8 years of Trudeau. People are paying thousands of dollars for daycare spaces that they don't get. We need to bring in a common sense system that empowers parents with maximum choice and supports all daycare options, all child care options, so that we don't limit what parents can do, and we maximize the number of kids that get help.
Just really quickly, you met with Ellis Ross today, announcing that he's going to be the nomination candidate for the Conservatives in Skeena-Buckley Valley. Why do you think he's the man to unseat Bacharach and unseat the NDP from this long-held NDP riding?
Ellis Ross is a local legend. He is a former chief of the Hesla First Nation, former minister for natural resources, a long-term MLA who's been elected on his own personal notoriety and community loyalty. He wants to bring home paychecks for his people. He wants to lower taxes and protect hunting rights. He will unleash the resource sector to dig mines, harvest forests, build natural gas facilities, and give the next generation of northern British Columbians the chance to live and prosper in their communities. That is extremely exciting, and I can't wait for him to be a senior member of my government.
All right, Mr. Polyev, we'll leave it there for now, but I very much appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Let's bring it home.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.